In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Now, in the gospel that we have prayed, Jesus says something that is a particularly pointed indictment. When the Pharisees are murmuring and they're complaining about what is going on, that there are sinners and the Lord is sitting with them, and you know, and the Jewish law was very clear. You do not mix the profane, right, the world, with the sacred. You don't put these two things together. So if you're leading a holy life or trying to lead a holy life, you do not have friends that are unholy. Sometimes teenagers think, well, I can help my friend, you know, come to church. No, you can't. No, you can't. You're not strong enough. Their parents haven't even been able to do it. But you can be a good example, and that may lead them. But you yourselves thinking that you can lead them, no, you cannot. If you mix yourself with somebody who is sinful, they will just bring you down. You will not bring them up. Suppose you have a glass of clear water, perfectly beautiful, clear water, not one pollutant in it. And then over here you have the heads of a few flies that have been chopped off, right? And you try to mix them. The only thing that happens, the purity of the water does not cleanse the head of the dead fly, but the head of the dead fly corrupts the cleanliness of the water. You girls will be corrupted if you hang around people who are sinners. It's the thing that always happens. And you young men, it's the same thing. If you hang around people that are sinners and you bring them close to you and, oh, this is my friend, but, you know, he does this and he does that and he does these other things, it's going to bring you down. It's not going to bring him up. You cannot get purity except by the expulsion of sin from your own vessel. I'm speaking to you about a vessel because the Lord is going to use the term as a wineskin. And a wineskin is something that they put wine in it. It wasn't a jug. It was made out of skin and sewn properly. Anyway, so beyond that, the Lord is really looking at their hearts. They weren't worried about his purity. They weren't worried about the purity of the disciples. So the mixing together was not the confusion thing. And the Lord knew this. And so he said, I've come to heal. I've come to heal. I'm a physician. I've come to heal. Who needs healing? No, think about it for a minute. If I ask you in this room who needs healing and everybody's hand does not immediately shoot up in affirmation that they need healing, I'm going to come around and punch you in the head. Because you all need healing. I need healing. Everyone in this room needs healing. The Pharisees didn't need healing. Here's Jesus Christ offering healing to everyone who asks. And then he says what? I've come to help those who are sick. I'm going to heal them. Well, I have no sickness. Well, look at me. I'm perfect. I'm the priest. How can the priest be a sinner? How is that possible? Well, ask Negwa. Or my kids, or some of you have a few little dust-ups with me. Yeah, of course I'm a sinner. The patriarch says as much. He says, forgive me, I'm a sinner. I sin. We all are in need. Jesus Christ is the true physician of our souls. The pride that was exuding from these people was unbelievable. Now, when what he said didn't resonate them. Remember, these people are so proud, and a proud person never begins to think that there's anything wrong with them. They may have, for example, there are some people that say, well, you know, I know I'm not perfect. Anybody that starts off a sentence when they say, I know I'm not perfect, but that person is a liar. That person is full of self-deceit. That person is an ignorant fool. I know I'm not perfect. You know, there's a thing called axiomatic. You don't need to say those things. It's like you're in the middle of the Saharan Desert, right? And it's noon. You don't have to say it's hot. You do not have to say it is arid. These things are axiomatic. You are there in that environment. It is an absolute fact. Of course, somebody's going to say, well, occasionally it rains. No, I'm not talking about the exception that proves the rule. I'm simply saying that when somebody says, I'm not perfect, but what he's really trying to say is, I'm so much better than you. And I'm now going to point it out. I'm not perfect, but let me tell you about what I saw you do. I'm not perfect, but let me tell you what I heard that happened in your house. I'm not perfect, but did you really make that transaction? Remember, there was the time of all the derivatives. Some of you who are in real estate and you were writing, people were writing and writing and writing all kinds of loans that they knew could never be paid back. They knew it. In other words, the only way that they did that and they leveraged it was they were anticipating property values going higher, higher, and higher, and higher. And so without doing anything, the property would amortize, and then you could renegotiate the loan at a lower rate because now the value had increased. So lock it in now. And so all these people in the ghetto said, yeah, we're going to get a house. We're going to get a house. Well, no. What they're going to do is to get into trouble by trying to get into a house they could not possibly afford. That's what happened to those people. But the people that were making money every time that they wrote one of these things, they didn't care. They didn't care. I get paid. As long as I'm getting paid, who cares? I know you don't know Michael Milken. You don't know the name Michael Milken. He worked for Drexel Ambier. He was called the junk bond king. He made a billion. He became a billionaire selling junk bonds. He didn't care that there were junk bonds. He sold the idea that they're going to appreciate, that they're going to amortize, that you're going to get value, right? I'm not perfect, but I'm not perfect, but you did this, you did that. No. As the Jews would attest, if you break one part of the law, you are guilty of the whole law. All 636 Mosaic laws. You are guilty. So what do I do? I'm guilty. I should be the first one to acknowledge that. As an example to you. But when a person starts out saying, I'm not perfect, but it's the most egregious form of a lack of humility that you're going to find, because it does not need to be said. All right. Now, when that didn't work, then the Pharisees and the Sadducees and then all the scribes and everybody was around that was afraid of being displaced by this new young rabbi preaching things that, you know, for them, they should have rejoiced. They should have been the most happy in the whole world, because here comes the Savior of the world. Here comes the one who spoke a word and creation leapt into being, right? This is why it compares it to him being the bridegroom, Nymphaeus. Yes, he is the bridegroom. He is Nymphaeus in the Greek. Why? We should be glad. He is the one who has made us, not we ourselves. He can do things for us. He can help us. He can alleviate our situations. He can heal. But they leapt into another thing. How come you guys don't fast? You understand? This is like the little kid. You know, Johnny, you have to eat your peas. I don't want to eat my peas. Oh, they're good for you. Why are they good for me? Well, they're nutritious. They don't taste good. Yeah, but it's good for your body. Your body needs these peas. You eat them. or give them to some other little kid. Why do I have to eat them? It's funny when you find a child doing something like this, because you know yourself that you went through one of these things. I have this strange, up until like the last year or so, I've had this strange thing against cooked carrots. I do not like cooked carrots. I like carrot cake, I like carrot juice, I like raw carrots, but I don't like cooked carrots. Now I do, but that's another part of the story. I think it's just because I like to eat in general. If it's on the plate, it's a goner. But I wouldn't do it. And my mother used to talk about, you know, the rabbit. Rabbits eat carrots. Have you ever seen a rabbit with glasses on? Rabbits are good for your eyes. Well, here I am. I didn't eat my carrots. I'm wearing glasses. I'm blind as a bat if I take them off. So maybe mom was right after all. But it was that argument of a child, the kind of thing that a child makes. So when they didn't make any headway speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ about why he was here and what his mission was, they said, how come you're not fasting? How come you're not fasting? Everybody else fasts. Why aren't you fasting? And then he says to them a second thing that's an allegation that is terrible. If somebody comes to you, and they come to you especially, to you, as opposed to all other people. Jesus Christ didn't go to China. Jesus Christ didn't go, you know, to Europe. Jesus Christ came to Palestine, right? He came to Palestine. He came to this area of the world. He came to you, and you don't rejoice? The creator of everything, of all of Africa, he came to you. He came to you, and you don't rejoice. But you see, the ones who really know me, they know me as the bridegroom. They know me as I am going to accept as my church, my bride, all of you. You will all individually be mine, and we will be wedded together eternally. So there's no death, there's no sickness, there's nothing to be afraid of, no persecution that you will not eventually conquer. You will. So why aren't you happy? Other people would die and have no hope. Other people would be in pain and have no hope. Other people would be lonely or depressed or have lost their family through tragedy or be imprisoned falsely. Have no hope. But when the disciples were imprisoned, they sang hymns. When John the Baptist was in prison, he did not mourn. It's an entirely different thing. You see this in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. It says, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. He came unto his own people, but they didn't receive him. Is there any greater indictment against those people or any more pathetic statement that one could make? There's a story in my own family. My mother and father are one of 10 children, so I've got scads of relatives all around. And my closest relatives lived in Northern California, and my Uncle Wes and Aunt Jean, they have two daughters, Judy and Sherry, and Judy went off to Florida and was gone for a long time. And she came back to her house, her mother's house, and she knocked on the door. The door was locked, and she knocked on the door. Her mother opened up the door and looked and said, "Yes, ma'am, how can I help you?" And she said, "Mom, it's me." She looked at her. She changed. She changed significantly. Her mother didn't recognize her. Now, I'm not going to tell you the backstory, but just think about that. "Yes, ma'am, can I help you?" Think of that in terms of your own mother. "Yes, ma'am, can I help you?" Who are you? You've become estranged. You are strange, but you have become estranged. By the way, that's not an Arabic way of saying strange. Estranged. It's a completely different word in English. I used to have a gym, and my wife would answer the phone, "Health a club." You know, as though, because in Arabic, it's not euphonious to end a word on a syllable and then start another word, a new word, ended on a consonant and then start a new word with a consonant. So they always put a vowel, even if the vowel doesn't exist, even if the vowel makes no sense, having it there. It has to be da 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 da. And then there's no run-on sentence. You just say wah. And it goes on forever. Wah, 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 wah. So, yes, ma'am. The Lord then finally says, because he's speaking to us now and to his disciples, nobody is going to put new wine into an old wineskin, because the wineskin begins after a while to lose its flexibility, and as the new wine begins to effervesce, the wine will burst as it grows in carbonation, or just giving off the gas as when it is in the fermentation process, right? So you can't hold Jesus Christ in you until you're going to let go of the things that have made you stiff and non-compliant. And the thing that makes you the most stiff and non-compliant is your own psychology, your own feeling about yourself, the feeling that, well, I know I'm not perfect, but let me tell you about you. See? That will kill. There's no space for that in Christ. The only thing one may say truly is, please, Lord, help me. Please, Lord, heal me. Please, Lord, make me acceptable. You do these things, you shall be saved. Glory be to God forever. Amen.